You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
It's lovely to be here, and thanks to Darren and to your whole family, actually, for what you do in leading worship here. It really does help us to know that we're with the Lord today, doesn't it, as we worship. I brought a few visual things for you today, and because I knew that the children would be staying in, so I thought they might be interested in some of the things I've got, but I know the adults will be as well, I'm sure. And I'm based up in Catterick Garrison. I'm currently with, look after 2nd Battalion, the Yorkshire Regiment. And Christmas in the Army finishes about 12th of December. And just before they finish, the officers and the warrant officers serve Christmas dinner to all the soldiers in the gym. So about 500 soldiers in the gym with all tables laid out, Christmas dinner. And the commanding officer said to me, he said, Padre, called Padre in the Army, he said, will you do a prayer before the Christmas lunch? I said, well, can I say something else as well, please, Colonel? And he said, yes, if you'd like to. And so I said, I'd like to tell them the Christmas story. And I did it in a way which is visual. And I thought I'd share it with you today. Many of you, my box will goes with me to worship in lots of different places. So this is how I told the soldiers the Christmas story. And it's using chocolate. So, I started off by saying that Mary heard a whisper from an angel that she was going to give birth to the Son of God. Actually, with this chocolate, I'll put it on the front, and then at the end, the youngest can choose one of these things first, and then the second youngest, and so on. So if you're really old, I'm sorry, we might not get to the chocolate before the young people. But I'll put these at the front. Put them on the straw. And so, then Mary became the topic of conversation, because everybody knew she wasn't married and she was expecting a baby. And so, a ripple of that news reached the ears of Joseph, who was engaged to Mary to be married. And he was thinking, well, should he carry on with the marriage? But an angel came to visit him and told him it was okay, that Mary's going to give birth to the Son of God. Now the next one is really for people who are a little bit older. They'll know the reference of this one, because Mary and Joseph had to go on a marathon journey, but the trouble is they've changed the name to Snickers. So the younger ones might not know that, but these were called marathons before they became Snickers. And so they went all the way to Bethlehem. And somewhere nearby, on a hillside, were some shepherds, or drifters, who were looking after their sheep. And the angel appeared to them, and they rushed off to see the newborn baby Jesus in the stable, didn't they? And then, the story continues, because somewhere in the east was a bunch of smarties, or wise men. And they were studying the Milky Way. So they travel with their bounty to give gifts to Jesus, the baby Jesus, of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So I put all these on there. The next one. Well, you might not like this one, but Herod was up to his old twicks. And thought he'd better get rid of all the baby boys under the age of two. So Mary and Joseph had to take time out and escape and flee to Egypt. And so, as I said to the soldiers, the Christmas story, it's such a wonderful story. It tells that God cares about us so much that it's a real boost to our lives. And so we can, when we know the true message of Christmas, that's when we can really join in the celebrations. There you go. So I've got more things in my box, yeah, which I'll show you. But on our shelves at home, we've got a book by John Grisham. Now, if you know anything about John Grisham, he writes stories, lots of them to do with, they're legal thrillers, aren't they? A lot to do with the law profession. But this one's a very different one for him. It's called Skipping Christmas. And it's a story about a couple in the United States. They live in one of these roads where everybody decorates the street with all lights and inflatables, Santa Claus and all those different things. And the whole street every year always decorates it. But one year, one of the couples in the street decide they're skipping Christmas. But the neighbours just, they really can't cope with that. And every day they're putting pressure on the couple to say, you must not skip Christmas. So much so that the couple decide they're going to go on a cruise eventually. But it all changes. And I won't spoil the story for you other than to say that in the end they don't skip Christmas. They join in it. But looking at that book on my shelf, I was thinking, what are the things that I'd miss if we skipped Christmas? And so these are going to lead into my talk and my theme. So they start off fairly lighthearted, but then get to the serious bit. So first of all, the thing I would miss about Christmas is getting a bit of relaxation, some time off. So that's a cushion. So I know that for ministers, and probably Darren is probably looking forward to a good rest after all he's been doing in the recent weeks. But relaxation, have some time away from whatever you're doing. And even if those people who work on Christmas Day, hopefully they get some time to have a rest afterwards. The second thing I'd miss from Christmas, again, getting a bit more serious, because I really like all the Christmas food. So that's a bit of our Christmas cake still got, and I'm still going to enjoy that. So I would miss all the Christmas food if I skip Christmas. But another thing I definitely wouldn't want to leave out of Christmas is of course family, seeing family. And that's a picture, and there are certain people in the church here today. Helen's probably about 18 months in that picture. So that's a picture of the family. So you wouldn't want to leave out family at Christmas, would you? And then of course at the very heart of Christmas is our worship of Christ. So I brought a cross to represent Jesus Christ and what he's done for us in the world. And so we don't ever forget that Christmas is always so linked with Easter, because Jesus was born to fulfill the plan that God had for him, to be the saviour of the world. And that would, of course, lead him to the cross. And then finally, and that's really to introduce my theme, is that often people will use candles as signs of hope. When I was with the Welsh Guards and we went to Afghanistan back in 2012, in the Guards Chapel, each of the regiments of the Household Division has its own little chapel, ante-chapel. And there, they light a candle for the whole time. A candle burns for the whole time that the soldiers are deployed overseas as a symbol of hope. This is a bit of a trick candle, because I think you just shake it like that. It's one that Helen bought. But the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it. That's what we're told in John's Gospel, isn't it, at the start? So my theme today is about hope. When I was, I'll ask you a quiz question first, because on Christmas Day, I was exhausted by Boxing Day, because my wife had arranged all these quizzes for the family. So I had a bit of revenge and used some of the questions that Darren had in church the other week about the real Christmas story and what's really in the Bible. But I thought of another question which relates to today. Because on this day, 38 years ago, a film came out on this very day, 27th of December, but 38 years ago. So don't expect the children to necessarily know it, but it's connected, I'll give you another clue, to a film that's just come out. And people will be like, yeah, Star Wars. So Jazz got it straight away. It's Star Wars, isn't it? And that first Star Wars film came out in 1977. And so I would have been 14 at the time. And I do like the Star Wars films. And that first one was called Star Wars, A New Hope. And it's very much about the fact that the Empire, the evil Empire, was taking over the universe. And it needed the rebels, and it needed Luke Skywalker, didn't it, to rescue the whole universe. And a lot of people have seen, you know, links to the Christian story in the Star Wars film. Although I'd say our story is so much more than the Star Wars films, isn't it? Because, I mean, there you've got a force, and we've got God, who is a person we can relate to, who can speak to. That's our prayer. It's not some force that could be either, you know, the dark side of the force or the good side of the force. God is always good and always there for us. But I still love those Star Wars films. But what I was thinking about was a verse that I was taught years ago from 1 Peter 3:15. And I learned it on a course back in the 80s at West Yorkshire United Reformed Church over in Stichel. And the verse says, always be prepared to answer anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks to give you the reason for the hope that you have. So I'm thinking today about Christmas hope, about the hope that we have and the hope we want to share to other people. Hope can sometimes be quite shallow things that we ask for. We could be asking to win something, maybe win the lottery, couldn't we? We could take it a bit further, a bit more serious for me and others in the church. We could be hoping that Coventry City get promotion this year. But the Christian hope is a much deeper hope than this. And someone once told me hope is to look forward to the future with expectation and confidence. And so Christian hope is based on God, that God has always kept his promises and the God who will continue to keep his promises into the future. And it's something which I think is really, I find it more and more important as I've been a chaplain in the army. I've been in the army now for nearly 5 years. And one of the things is that when soldiers are in difficulties, they will either come to me or be sent to me for me to talk to them about what they're going through. And many, particularly in an infantry unit like the one I'm in at the moment, the soldiers are mostly men, young men. Average age is probably about, they're between 18 and 23. So they're quite young. And that age group is an age group that's very, very susceptible to depression and that sort of mental health issue and illness. And sadly, they're in the biggest risk group in our society of taking their own lives. And what I find is there's so much hopelessness amongst some of those lads. Now, it's only a few, but I'm conscious that is a big thing. And one of the opportunities I have when they come to see me is to tell them the reason for the hope that I have. And it's a wonderful privilege that the army gives me and have the opportunity to talk to them about my faith and what keeps me going. And so it's really important as Christians that we are able to share the reason we have for the hope that we have. Yeah, and particularly I think Christmas speaks about that hope, doesn't it? What I'll share with you also is that I'm very conscious in my job. I move sort of between the Christian world and the rest of the world quite a lot. And what I find is that when I'm in the bit that's outside the church, there's often this feeling of hopelessness that people have. You know, they wonder how can they carry on. And particularly when difficulties come to them, they don't seem to have the resources to fall back on. And yet in the church, we're not immune from problems in our lives, are we? We face the same problems as everyone else. And yet we have this tremendous resource of knowing that we have a hope that is so precious to us. And so when I think about that hope, I think about it in three different ways, and I want to share that with you today. The first one is something which Ralph spoke about a few months ago, and it really stuck with Helen and I when we heard him talk about it. And he was saying that not only is God always with us, but God has gone ahead of us as well, in that every step we take into the future, God's already been there. He knows what's going to happen. And so he's not only with us, but he's there almost preparing the way for us. And in the Bible, you can hear about that in verses like in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8, when Moses is preparing Joshua to be his successor and take over from him. And you can imagine what that's like. I don't know if you ever, you know, you think about when you're given a new challenge or a new job, or maybe you're going to, you know, for the young ones, going to a new school or you're facing an exam or something, that you can feel quite overwhelming. There may be something good that you're looking forward to, but it also can be quite challenging as well. And you can imagine Joshua, who's been given these enormous shoes to fill of Moses, and he's got to now lead the people into the promised land. And he's given a promise. He's told that God has gone ahead of you, Joshua, and he will always be with you. And that's an amazing promise, isn't it? To know that as you look into the future, and you might be worried about it, that God has stepped into that future before you, and you can go alongside with him into that future. And it's something which Christmas is really about, isn't it? Because, you know, we've heard over the past few weeks those wonderful prophecies from the Old Testament. And we're told that the ones from Isaiah, we're told last week, that they're from 500 years before Jesus was born. And in Micah, that Micah prophecy we've heard today about Bethlehem, and out of you will come a ruler, even though you're the smallest of all the tribes in Judah, that promise was 700 years before Jesus was born. So people were waiting with an expectant hope, a hope with confidence, even those hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And yet they didn't really know exactly how wonderful it would be, did they? Because they thought very much in earthly terms. They thought about a leader who's going to rule and get their country to be strong again. They dreamt of things like, oh, could only be my country be as strong as it was back when it was the greatest it ever was under Solomon, when the kingdom of Israel was so big and powerful. That's the sort of thing that they were hoping for. Someone to get rid of the Romans, throw them out of the country so they could rule their country again. That their hope was not as deep as it should have been. And so God always surprises us and brings us something more wonderful than we can ever imagine or know. And so throughout the Bible, there are promises that Jesus fulfills. And it's not simply those individual prophecies, but Jesus came, he tells us, to fulfill the whole of the law and the prophets. He is the person who takes the Old Testament, the old agreement, the old relationship, and transforms into the new testament, the new agreement, the new relationship with God. He's the one who transforms the whole of that. He comes to fulfill the whole of the law and the prophets. And so we've seen in history how God has fulfilled his promises. And so we can know that God is going to fulfill his promises into the future. God has gone ahead of us. The women at the tomb, after the resurrection, Jesus says, we were told that Jesus has gone ahead of you. He's gone already. God is always there in the future waiting for us. The second hope that I have is the one which comes from that passage in John. And it's one which does often get used at funerals. And I think it's because it's such a wonderful passage. And again, I think about the Christian world and those who are not Christians, about what happens when someone dies. And sadly for every one of us, we'll go for that time when we'll lose somebody precious from our lives. And we need to know the hope that God gives us to help us, because it's such a horrible time. It's such a dark time for people. And in that promise, Jesus tells us that he's gone ahead of us again to prepare a place for every one of us in his kingdom of heaven, in his Father's house, he calls it. He's got enough space for everybody. And Thomas says, we don't know how to get there. And Jesus says, it's through me. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me, says Jesus. And so that is a wonderful promise for people who are going through difficult times. And that's why Christmas cannot ever be separated from Easter. Because at Easter, on the cross, Jesus did everything that was needed for every one of us to have the chance of heaven. Despite all we've done in our lives, all the sin in our lives, the things that we might have thought or said or done, Jesus says to each one of us, all that can be forgiven if you follow me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he's gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us. And that gives us tremendous comfort, those of us who've been through times of grieving, to know that those who are our loved ones who know Jesus is the way have gone into his kingdom of heaven. And I think it's such a wonderful place as well. One of the things I like about the promises in the Bible is that Jesus, when he describes the kingdom of heaven, he keeps talking about it as being a party. It's a wedding feast or a banquet. It's wonderful. I sometimes think that people outside the church think, oh, heaven's going to be a boring place. But actually, the way that Jesus always describes it, or often describes it, is as that wonderful banquet. And that one day, we will be reunited with all those who have gone before us at that party in the kingdom. And so that gives us comfort again to know that that those people who have gone before us are there in God's presence. And so the third part of the hope is not just about that looking forward, but it's about the here and now as well. Jesus came, and he came to announce the kingdom of heaven. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven, we're waiting for that day when the kingdom is finally established here on earth. But we live in what some people call the in-between times. In between Christmas, when Jesus arrives in the world to start bringing the kingdom of God, and the day when he finally returns to establish his kingdom forever. And we know through Jesus' ministry that signs of the kingdom were breaking out all over the place. When the goodness came into the world through the things that he did and the things he said, the healings he brought, the miracles he brought. And his church, his people, still bring signs of the kingdom today. And it's so important, I think, that people know about the fact that God is still working in his world. For everything that anybody does which is good and brings more love and justice into the world, we see signs of God's kingdom breaking out. And one day, finally, that kingdom will be established. But we need to, I believe, it's a real challenge to us, to make sure we celebrate those good news stories, the signs of the kingdom in our world today. When people do simple acts of kindness, when people work for the needs of others, when people try to bring justice into our world. One of the things that I know people say this a lot, is that, you know, the news often tells us just the bad stuff, doesn't it? And there is plenty of bad news around. And we know that. And we hear again of the terrible floods that people are going through in this country. We know about, you know, the threat of terrorism in our world today. There's so many things that you could just get quite low about. And yet there's so many stories of goodness that don't get recorded, and don't get reported. And I think as God's people, it's up to us to make sure that these good stories are told and people know there's goodness and hope. One of the stories I came across on Facebook, and you can either like it or not like Facebook, but it's useful for some things, was a story about two sisters. One had been going through a time of mental health problems with depression. And sadly, their mother had died and they'd just been to the funeral. And as they were walking away from the funeral, feeling really low, and it was absolutely pouring down with rain, and they're starting to get soaked, a stranger, another woman, just came up to them and gave them an umbrella. Said, I'm going inside now, and you can have my umbrella. And the sister, who was feeling so low, said, just that simple act of human kindness, of someone who didn't need to do it, just through an act of generosity, just made her feel there was some goodness in the world. And she said, that simple act started to turn my life back around again. And one of the things we don't celebrate enough is what Christianity's done in this country and to help people. When I think about my chocolate, I think about people like the Cadburys. And back in Victorian times, when Cadburys were starting their factory, they made sure their workers were paid a fair wage and had decent housing to live in. And they did that because of their Christian faith. And there's so many stories of schools that started, hospitals that were built, good works that were done because Christians believed that's what they needed to do, to bring more goodness into the world so people could see signs of God's kingdom. And it was God who asked them to do those things because God wants goodness and love and justice in his world today. And still it goes on today. And again, the media aren't great, are they? Because I know through Helen and through her brother Andrew about the work of the Trussell Trust, which is a Christian charity set up to organise food banks. And so often you'll see items on the news about food banks, but rarely do they say that all these food banks are run out of churches and invariably by Christian people who want to bring a bit of goodness into the world. And again, the media don't tell you that, but that is a story of how God is working through his people to bring good news into people's lives. And so that is something we should celebrate. So the more good news stories you can share with people about how people are kind and generous and work for justice, then that, I think, promotes the whole of the kingdom of God. So to finish then, we have a hope which is about expecting good things with confidence. We have this hope given to us by God, the God who came in Jesus at Christmas, the God who came in Jesus to go to the cross and offer every one of us the chance to be rescued, rescued from all the things that could drag us down in life and make us feel bad. The God who says, I want you to have life in all its fullness through my son Jesus Christ, who says that all the things you worry about, all that stuff which you feel, I'm not a good person, I don't deserve a chance of heaven, says, no, I've done everything that is needed so that you can be part of my kingdom, because I love you that much that nothing could stop you getting into heaven. And everything's been done by Jesus on the cross for you. That's such a great story for people, to rescue people. And so we celebrate hope at this Christmas time, and we pray that God will help us to spread that message, that good news message of hope, with everyone we meet. Shall we pray? Loving God, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus into our world to be our Saviour, to be the one who rescues us. Because we know we go through times when we struggle. We know we go through times when it's really hard. And that you're there for us, Lord. You stand alongside us. You will never leave us or forsake us. You're the one who gives us hope and tells us that there is a light that shines in the darkness, a light that the darkness can never overcome. So we thank you for that promise. And we pray that you'll help us to be the people who are always prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks us for that reason for the hope that we have, to tell other people about the good news, about what you have done for us, Lord. And so we pray that your Holy Spirit will move in our lives, and that your love will flow through us into the lives of others, and that people will know of the hope that you give to every person. And we ask this prayer then in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.